given men and women a clear direction of how to lead America. Not every man and woman leading a perfect life, but trying to lead the life that God calls us to lead. We know that in America, the past 250 years and beyond, this land that we call home, United States of America, it's been filled with thousands of different tribes. A land that Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci first gave the name America. People from around the world began to establish colonies here, South and Central America, in the southern United States. The British Empire, we know, established the 13 colonies along the eastern coast of North America. The 13 colonies adopted 250 years ago the Declaration of Independence to break away from the British rule, sparking the American Revolution. The America is very unique. And you know what makes America unique? You know that 100 acres of pizza get consumed in America every day. America is very unique because apparently there are some people who like pizza. 100 acres of pizza consumed every single day. You know, here in America, there are some states like Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, where the cows outnumber the people. We know that in Kentucky, it produces 95% of the world's bourbon, and they hold more barrels of liquor than there are people. America, we know, is the fourth largest country by land. America is the fourth largest country by land, and it is the third largest country by population. It was once illegal to serve ice cream with cherry pie in Kansas. Christians in this country goes way back, defined by this country in so many different ways. You know, Christians were actually the first ones who created hospitals leading up to the modern healthcare that we have today. Christians were the ones who founded Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. They wanted to train ministers and to educate people. Salvation Army, Samaritan's Purse, the Catholic Church, groups that for years have been feeding and clothing, emergency relief, rebuilding homes over and over and over again, built by Americans. You know today that the average church size in America is less than 70. The average church size is less than 70. But the biggest percentage of people prefer to support large churches. In 1780, the U.S. government supported Christianity by bringing pastors in. They sponsored the publication of the Bible. In 1780, the government granted public land for doing missionary work. America has defined the world. It has changed the world. America has so many different things. We see from wars, from battles, from salvation, from healing, from creating hospitals, creating colleges that were doing great things. America, though, has been defined by two things today that we're going to talk about. One is the war, the wars that we have fought, but not the wars that we see physically. America's been defined by the wars we see internally. Our hearts, every one of us, we long for peace and rest. Our hearts long for peace and rest. But yet, why is there such internal war that happens sometimes every single day? But unfortunately, there's going to be this internal war until the very end. Every one of us has something going on the inside. We know that there is something. We know something's happening. We know something big is coming. Every single person on this planet, there is something inside of us that says something is around the corner. Open with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. My title today is, you can bump your neighbor, it is Unafraid. And ask them, are you unafraid today? Matthew 8:23. Jesus got into the boat and he started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat while Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're gonna drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Here's a storm. Here's a beautiful picture of storms and the storm that the disciples face with Jesus. Did you know that there are roughly 90 tropical storms and hurricanes each year around the world? But we're not going to talk about this morning the kind of hurricanes and storms that, yes, they have flooded homes. We see it on TV. So much damage that we've watched this past year or the last couple of years. But we're going to talk about the spiritual storms that people face, that we face on an ongoing basis every single day. We are guaranteed in this life to face storms, every one of us. And it is important that we learn to navigate the spiritual storms that we face. Now, there are some spiritual storms that God tells us in His Word that we're going to face. Number one, the storm of learning to become obedient. Learning to navigate through the storm and learning how to be obedient. Tests, storms that we face as a direct result of faith in God. Storms that we have gone through. Storms, tests that just like Abraham had to go through the test of giving up his one and only son. The test of learning to obey. Hardships that arise from our own choices. Sometimes rebellion towards God and godly people causes us to go into a storm. There's a storm of purification. One of the things that God wants to teach us as Christians is how to grow. Difficult seasons, they're meant to strengthen us, to stretch us, to pull us. And so there are storms that teach us how to obey. There are storms that are there to teach us to be purified, to grow, to allow the things that are in the past to let go and continue to move forward in God, to prune, to grow the character that God wants us to have. There's a storm of learning how to be protected. Sometimes people don't want to be protected. I'll protect myself. I don't need your help. I don't need anybody else's help. I got this. I got myself. God wants to provide, but God also wants to protect us. In learning to listen to the voice of God so that you can, so that we can, so that I can avoid danger. God allows us to go through storms. Number one, learning how to obey. Number two, learning how to grow, to be purified. Number three, learning how to listen to the provision of His voice to avoid danger. 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 And lastly, the last storm I want to talk about is the storm of warfare. Battles spiritually that rise, they manifest in daily physical life. Storms. Jesus was on a boat and he said to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." They get in the boat, they go. What happened? The wind picks up, the waves pick up. What's he doing? He's sleeping. How many of us, I love this beautiful part of the story, but how many of us have ever said, "God, where are you? God, there are people, there are kids, right? They're dying of hunger. There's kids dying in battle. God, where are you? God, are you sleeping? Why is there such injustice here? God, why are so many bad things happening here? God, just like the disciples, why are you sleeping, Jesus? We are going to die here." They were frantic. They were scared. And what did Jesus respond to them? "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Why do you have such little faith?" How many of us, we react so quick. When something happens, we react so quick. Just like the disciples, it looked very dire. It looked like the end of the world. But they forgot who they had on the boat. They had Jesus. And the Son of God, the man who raises the dead and walks on water. They freaked out, ignoring the most powerful person ever to walk on the face of the earth. And how many of us, we go through storms, we go through situations, and we do the exact same thing as disciples. We freak out of our minds and we panic. And some of us, we do certain things because we're afraid. because we get scared. There's people we call. There's things that we Google. And then things that we do because we're bothered. Why? Because we're forgetting. Jesus is on the boat of my life with me. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I'm going to be okay. If the world ends tomorrow by a nuclear bomb, it's horrible and it's tragic. But you know what? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to heaven. No matter what happens, I am okay because I have Jesus. There are storms that are going to happen. How many of us know we have gone through storms? We've had storms in our life. How many of us know we are going to continue to face storms today? We're going to continue to face storms this week. Whether it's in us, whether it's somebody that we know, we are going to continue to fight and get through the storms. Now, here in California, we're lucky because we don't live in Hurricane Alley. There's a place, there's a few states where hurricanes every single year, there are hurricanes and storms that just come through there. Lightning, thunderstorms that even kill people, right? It's horrible. Now, here in California, we don't have that same kind of weather, so we're a little fortunate. But how many of us know we may not have that type of level of storm spiritually? Everyone around the world is still facing some type of storm. An inner turmoil where God may be testing our obedience, testing our growth. Are you allowing me to prune you? He said, He's the vine, we're the branches. The Father trims off the branches so that we can grow. We're going through a storm so that God can show us, I am your provider. I am your protector. Listen to my voice. Stop listening to other people. Listen to me. Storms. The God, what does he do? He uses the storms to get our attention. Our tithe and offering verse this morning, we talked about selective hearing. And in Christianity, many of us, this is how we live our spiritual life too, sometimes, is with selective hearing. Well, God wouldn't allow that in my life. Well, God wouldn't do that. Why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice his only son? Any one of us in here this morning, if God said that to us, we would say, hell no, that is not God. That's not God. God would never ask me to sacrifice my son. But how many times we question God? How many times we say, that wouldn't be God? We blame God. How many people do we know this isn't God? God's not moving. God doesn't allow this inactivity. God doesn't allow. Everything has to be roses all the time. Everything has to be peaches and cream and cherry pie with ice cream. Unless you live in Kansas in 1903 when they outlawed ice cream and cherry pie. Because they didn't want you to get fat. It's amazing how we as people in conversation in groups, we so try to avoid the storms that God brings into our life. And he brings them for what? He brings them for a reason. What do we do? What do we say? It's important to have some understanding. The Bible says that this storm happened all of a sudden. And most of the time, that's usually when storms happen. They happen all of a sudden. Moving from one aspect of life to another. Moving from one season of life to another. And bam, here is the storm. So here's some things. Number one, God wants us to never panic. Panicking is not good. Panicking is bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop panicking. If you like to panic, stop panicking. It isn't good. Being afraid is not good. Number two, stop blaming other people. The storms in life, God personally, Paul said, listen, we have to all work out what? Our own salvation. Is anybody in here responsible for your salvation? No. Or is anybody in here responsible for that? No. We have to work out, every one of us have to work out our own salvation. So God leads us through storms for what? To work out our salvation. We can't blame other people for what we're going through or blame God. Number three, don't run and hide. Learn to always continually go to God. God. And lastly, the biggest thing that Jesus states in the scripture is, why are you so afraid? Why do you have such little faith? We know that one of our favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:7, says we walk by faith, not by sight. The Amplified Version puts it this way: we learn to walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by a conviction or belief respecting relationships to God and divine things with trust and holy fear. Thus, we walk not by sight or appearance. 2 Corinthians, the Amplified Version, is crazy. Listen, we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by conviction, a belief respecting man's relationship to God, the divine things of God, with trust and holy fervor. Thus, we walk by faith, not by sight or how it appears. 2 Corinthians, New King James, 5:7, walk by faith, not by sight. How many of us, life, it seems to dictate, it seems to guide by what we see and what we feel and not by faith alone? This story that Jesus and his disciples went through, it's a lesson of learning how to be what? Unafraid. No matter what I go through, I'm unafraid. No matter what I face, I'm unafraid. No matter what's happening in our world, I'm unafraid. We walk by faith and what? Not by sight. The disciples freaked out because of what they saw. The news today, politicians today, their main job, it is to make you afraid. Politicians want to make you afraid. The news people, they want to make you afraid. Everything happening in the world today, people are out to dictate to you, and they put a spirit of fear in every single thing that's happening because they know what fear does. It makes us crippled, blinded people who are consumed with fear. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by the storms. I'm moved by God. I'm not moved by that. Jesus, at the end of the story, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and he brings a peace and a calm that only God can. We know Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, it surpasses everything. It will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The calmness, if you imagine being on that boat thinking that you're going to die, and the next second everything is perfectly still, when we allow Jesus to do what he wants to do in our lives, it brings the peace that only he can bring. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You'll experience God's peace. It exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your heart as you live in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4:7, in the Amplified Version, God's peace, it should be yours. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot or whatever sort that is. The peace which transcends all understanding, it shall protect and guard you and our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Every single person has gone through, or gonna go through, or knows somebody who's going through a storm. What is the storm? Our world is constantly in a state of a storm because there's turmoil happening everywhere, but there's turmoil also happening where? Internally. And as we face these storms, as we go through storms, it's important to remind ourselves, one, do I have my eyes on Jesus? Do I have my eyes on Jesus? Number two, am I living unafraid? Am I walking by faith? Or am I stuck in what I've seen? We've seen America, as America celebrates 250 years of being a country. How many storms has America weathered in 250 years? Christians, since the beginning of time, the last 10,000 years, how many storms have Christians gone through that we see in the Bible over and over? And through every storm, we know that there's really only one key. On Communion Sunday, we know what that one key is, and it is what? Jesus. Living and thriving through every storm. You know, the keys to victory, the keys to weathering storms, to who we face, what we face, I think also are represented in this story. If you can have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 4. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle, camped between Soko and Judah and Azekah at Ephes. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites face each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer, His armor bearer, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. Defy the armies. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. We're going to skip down to verse 40. David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream. He put them in his shepherd's bag. Then he, armed with only a shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this little ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog," he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I'm only coming to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know, there's a God in Israel. Everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and a spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with a sling, hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in. Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone because he had no sword. David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Our first text talked about the storms we face. Our second text talks about the giants that he faced and the giants we face. America has faced many giants in the last 250 years. We as people, as Christians, and as men and women, we have faced our own giants. Shoot, parents have even passed down some of their giants that they couldn't deal with. They passed them down to us so that we had to deal with them. And so whether it's a storm, whether it's a giant, at some point, every single one of us, we have to stop and make the decision to learn to fight and face the giant or the storm that's right in front of us. We see that one of the greatest things that God teaches us every day, no matter what's going on, no matter if it's raining, no matter if it's sunny, no matter if we're going through a storm or been through a storm, what does God want us to do? To continue to praise him no matter what. Whatever he gives, whatever he takes away, to learn how to praise him. So if worship and if praise helps us get through every storm, what helped David in facing the giant that he had to face? Because if David as a Christian had to face a giant, you know what? Every one of us, we do too. We have. Some of us, we've already faced giants. And some of us have won. Some of us have lost. Some of us may be facing a giant right now. But I guarantee you, in life, as a Christian, we're going to go through storms. How do I get out of those storms? I learn to praise no matter what's going on. I learn to believe and trust in God no matter what's going on. But at the same time, there's times where I have to put down the guitar and worship, and then I have to pick up my sword, and I have to fight, and I got to fight with what is right here in front of me. America, to break away from England, to break away from the British armies, took facing this giant, this British Empire, to face this massive giant to what? So to become an independent nation, to become a nation of freedom. America has faced and taken down many giants. Christians in the Bible, we read it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Men and women who faced giants and have won. Today, in our lives, in the 30 years that we've been alive, how many giants have we faced, and how did we do? How did we do facing the giants? So we look at our text this morning, and what do we ask ourselves, what are the keys to David's success and the giant that he faced? Number one, recognizing who and what am I facing? You know, every giant, every demon, they're all the same. What did Goliath do? He was 9 feet tall. So what did he do? He used his size. He used his size. And then secondly, what did he use? He used his big mouth. He used words. Because it says that this guy, this giant, Goliath, he made the whole entire army of Israel and the king, what? It says they were afraid. They were terrified. They were deeply shaken. And so what do demons do? What do evil, demonic people do? What do giants do? They stare you in the face and they put words that they know are going to terrorize you. Words in your heart and your mind and your soul. Demons and giants, they come after you with intimidation, with words that are going to make you afraid. Because what does being afraid do? It makes us, just like King Saul and the men, what happened when they were terrorized with fear? They ran and hid. They ran and hid. I can't face this. I'm not going to deal with this right now. Fear makes every single one of us inactive in what God put us here to do. Number one, we must recognize, am I facing a giant right now? Who is a giant? What is the giant? What is the demonic name to this giant that I'm facing right now? What is the demon that I'm facing right now? What is it that is coming after me right now? What is this demon's name? And what is it? What is it causing? What is it causing me to feel? Goliath, his size, his words, his possessions. He had a big fat spear. He had a massive sword. Everything that was in his possession. What? All to intimidate. Darkness, evil, demons. We don't realize, I think, sometimes, because in the church, over years and seasons, you know, spiritual warfare has come up and then it's gone away. It's come up and it's gone away. It may sound weird to think there's angels and demons right now. They could be right outside this building and they're fighting over us to hear the truth of God's word. Angels and demons, angels who are trying to protect the truth of God's word, to protect God's children. Demons who constantly are setting to attack every single one of us, to pull us away from God, to try and get us to do bad things. Demons, like these giants, this giant of fear that was facing King Devin. Recognize the giants that are in your life. Recognize the giants, who and what, and give them a name. And so you know who and what you're dealing with. Number two, we see that the king and army, because of this giant that they were facing, they were afraid. And what did they say to themselves? We're not going to fight anymore. We're not going to deal with this anymore. We're not going to go. We're not going to do. So this little man, about 15 years old, he was a young shepherd. He was a brother. He was a big family, eight brothers, total of eight. His dad tells him, I want you to go check on your brothers who are at battle. I want you to bring him some food. Bring some food for the king. And so this 15-year-old boy sets out. All he's doing is what his dad told him to do. 15-year-old boy sets out to do what his dad tells him to do. David, a 15-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy, gets to the battlefield. He hears the giant, and there's one thing that he feels immediately. What did David feel? I'm unafraid. I don't care who this guy is. I don't care who he is. I don't care that he's 9 feet tall. I don't care that he has four brothers that are the same size. David hears the threats, and immediately he wasn't consumed with fear. He was consumed with what? I'm not afraid. I'm going to go take on this punk. David immediately was what? Unafraid. This is the number one emotion we have to train ourselves as Christians to be. I am unafraid. No matter what's going to come my way, no matter what's going to hit my family, no matter what's going to hit my friends, I am unafraid. I'm ready. I am going to go because I'm unafraid. David was unafraid, a 15-year-old boy. He was around grown men who could not fight this battle. There is not one person in the army. They had been fighting for years. Saul fighting for years, victory after victory after victory after victory. They had won so many battles. But you know what? No matter what they won in their life, they were still afraid of this one. Which reminds us, sometimes there's things that we do and we accomplish and we feel good about ourselves, but yet there still is that lurking giant that's out there that still has that voice. Maybe you're a failure. Maybe you're past. Maybe it's sin of the past. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's bitterness and rebellion that you let creep in your heart. There's that one giant, that one demon. No matter what you've done over here, there's still this one that you haven't dealt with over here. David was the one man, one young boy who was not afraid because he lived unafraid. He lived unafraid. As soon as he tells his brothers, I'm going to go out and fight this guy, what did his brothers do? You're stupid. You're dumb. That's what a lot of brothers do, right? You're dumb. You're stupid. Why do you want to do this? Now, whoever fought the giant, if they win him, they get to marry the king's daughter. The family gets to live tax-free. There were some benefits. But was that why David was going to fight the giant? Nah. You know why David was going to fight the giant? He didn't like that the giant was making fun of his God. He didn't like that the giant was making fun of his God, and he didn't like that he was making all these grown men afraid. And so he's the one who says, I'm going to do something about it. He looked around. How many of us look around today and say, there is so much crap and filth in our world and our planet today? Well, maybe God's given you sight to see so that you do something about it. It's funny, you ever hear people, Christians, non-Christians, they see something that bothers them, and maybe they're being moved because God's trying to say, you need to do something. I'm moving you so that you do something about it. But what do as people, sometimes as even Christians? Let's pass it off and let somebody else do it. How many kids around our world have no parents? How many kids are growing up without parents? They're not growing up. They don't have hope. They don't have love because they don't have parents. How many kids do not have proper nutrition every single day? Yes, Kit Kats, Red Bulls, and Munsters, and Takis are proper nutrition for us here in America. But around the world, they don't have all that good stuff. They don't have the Takis. They don't have the Red Bulls, the Munsters. Kids die every 30 seconds because they don't have proper nutrition. Does that bother any of us? Well, if it bothers us, what are we doing about it? If we look around our valley, how many homeless do we have? How many of us have complained about the homeless, and how many of us are doing something about it? How many of us go to church and we get bothered by something at church, and then we walk out and we say nothing when God's saying, if you're bothered by something, maybe you need to step in and do something about it. God puts us in certain places and he allows us to be bothered. He allows us to get frustrated. He allows certain things to happen because he's saying, you are here for a reason. Now step up and do something about it. Step up and do something about it. Be unafraid and do what I put you here to do. David lived unafraid. I don't know how this guy did it. So first thing he hears from his brothers, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're just trying to do this for yourself, you want to look good for everybody else. You're dumb, you're stupid. How many of us have ever heard that? You're dumb, you're stupid. You're never going to get anywhere in life. You're dumb, you're stupid. You're never going to be better than your brother. You're never going to be better than this. You're not going to be better than them. You're not better than your sister. You're not better than your coworker. How many of us have heard these words over and over again? Words, vomit, puke from demons that are speaking through people to try and put us down. David, he gets through his brothers. He gets through all the negative words from his brothers. And then he stands in front of the king. What's the king tell him? You can't do this. You're a little boy. You're 15. I'm the king. I'm afraid. I can't do it. I don't think you can either. So what does David say? He says, listen, yeah, I'm a little boy, but you know what? You know what this little boy has done? This little boy has killed a lion. This little boy has killed a bear. The king, his brothers, what were they all doing? Pushing him down. You can't do this. You're not good enough. You can't do this. You're not good enough. You're not qualified. What did David say? I am qualified. I live unafraid. I don't care. When a lion or bear came after my sheep, I took a club and I beat it to death. How does a 15-year-old boy, in my mind, I can't imagine having that kind of courage to go after a lion or a bear with a stick. This boy, there was something about King David. What did he have? What was in his possession? Man, this guy had no fear. He lived unafraid. He had no fear. He lived unafraid. So it didn't matter what kind of storm. It didn't matter what kind of giant. Because in David's head, you know what he knew? God's always with me. God's always with me. God's always with me. I can face anything. I can do anything. And so as he's talking with the king, remember, his brothers put him down. The king's putting him down. You can't do, you can't do, you can't do. He's like, yeah, yes I can. So he had to get through all the words of advice. Just like us. How many of us know people who they always have a word of advice? You know you should be doing this. You know you should be doing that. You know you should be going here. Don't we love people like that who constantly, every time we see them, they have words of advice? You should be. You should do. The king even said, hey, listen, I don't like the clothes you're wearing. You should put on my clothes. You should put on my armor. Right? How many people constantly judging, constantly, ba 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 ba. They have so many words of advice. You should be this. You should do this. David gets through his brothers. David gets through the king, and he makes his way out. He sees a stream. He sees five stones. What would the five stones represent? We know that there was five giants. There was only one right now. His name's with Goliath, but he had four brothers. So some say, we don't know because it's not stated, but we do know that there was a total of five giants. So did he grab five stones in case the four brothers were upset because David was going to kill this one, so he was ready? Five stones. Maybe it was just because he wanted to really be prepared. How many of us, we go to war every day and we're not prepared? How many of us, we know last night was July 4th, so there was a lot of celebrating, a lot of fireworks going off, and how many people stayed up too late and they can't make it to church because it was too hard to get up in the morning? I'm not prepared for battle today. I'm not prepared for battle today because it was a long night. How many people go and live their spiritual life every day like that? They're ill prepared because of the day before. God wants you to be ready to face every battle every day, ready, strong, full of courage. But you know what? Sometimes if we're up all night, man, we are not going to be ready for the next day. So I think David, he had five stones, could have been for five giants. Five stones because he wanted to be well prepared in case he missed. He had four other chances. But you know also the number five in the Bible, it means God's grace. The number five means God's grace. It means God's goodness. It means God's favor. You know why I think David had five stones? Because he knew what five meant. I have God's favor. I have God's goodness. I have God's grace. Shoot, man, if you know that you could take down a lion, if you could take down a bear, if you know that nothing can stand in front of you because God's on your side, man, I'm walking with those five rocks all the time, representing, making the statement, I may not just earn it. I'm not perfect. But I have God's blessing on my life because I live for Him. Number five, God's grace, His goodness, and His favor, which King David absolutely had. We know that David, he faced the words of his family who tried to put him down the ground. You're worthless. You're just doing this for show. You're just doing this for yourself. You're selfish. You're just trying to make yourself look good. We know that David got in front of the king. Again, you can't do this. And then David stands in front of his enemy. And what does he say? you're an ugly little boy. I'm going to kill you. You're like a little dog. So now his family's brothers, the king, who should be on his side as well, and now his enemy. He's hearing all this junk over and over and over again. And here is this giant. What does he do? He's bad-mouthing him. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're a little boy. You're going to hit me with your little stick? You think you're going to come over here and hurt me? You think you're going to do something? How many demons every day, and we can't get weirded out on this, but how many demons every day use those same words? We got family members saying, you're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're just doing this for yourself. You're selfish. How many people who are in power, who are trying to put us down, just like King Saul, and how many of us are facing our Goliath, and the Goliath is saying to you, you're nothing. You're not going to make it. You're nothing. You have nothing, and you will have nothing, and you're going to continue to have nothing, because the demonic voice of evil is trying to make people feel worthless. Because David, he knew his value. His value wasn't in himself. His value was in his God. He didn't place his value in the beamer. He didn't place the value in his house. He didn't place the value. He knew that if he beat Goliath, he gets to marry the king's daughter. His dad would never have to pay taxes again. And believe you me, most of us in here, whether we thought we could beat Goliath or not, we would at least try for that one. To never pay taxes again? Heck yes. I'm going to give it a shot. But David, what did he say to Goliath? You can call me names. You can say all these things. It doesn't put any fear in my heart. I'm coming after you today. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to chop off your head. And then he said, why? Because I'm showing the world the battle belongs to God. His favor, his value, it wasn't in himself. That's how he beat a lion and a bear. His strength, though he had muscle, it wasn't in his muscle or his value. It was in God, which gave him the strength to kill a lion and a bear. David's value, he's not out fighting battles to make himself look good. He's fighting battles because he says, I want everyone to know there's only one God. And it's you. It's you, God. You are our God. And so he told Goliath, you go ahead. You call me names. You make fun of me, but I'm coming for you, and I'm coming for you to show the world that God is real. This morning, we have two scriptures that we're going to close with. Matthew 12:43. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes in the desert seeking rest but finding none. It says, I'm going to return to the person I came from. So returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter that person and live there. That person is worse off than before. There'll be an experience. That will be the experience of this evil generation. And so as we wrap up this morning and we close with this verse, all leading, all guiding and directing to what we've talked about today, and that is we have gone through storms, some storms that have caused damage in our lives, just like storms that hit the United States, storms that have hit around the world, and they have killed people. They've damaged buildings. They destroyed things. We have gone through spiritual storms and barely made it out alive because whatever it was, man, it hit us hard. There are storms we've gone through, but we're still here. There's storms that we're facing or about to face. There's friends that we know, family members we know that have gone through storms and they've been damaged. They've been hit. There's storms that every single one of us spiritually we're facing. Storms. What was the thing that Jesus said? Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't be afraid. Like David, what? Live unafraid. Our second story, David facing Goliath, a giant. David was not afraid of any giant, any demon coming after him, and they all wanted him dead. He had family. He had a son. He had people. He had kings. He had countries who all wanted him dead. They wanted this man dead because David was a great man, not a perfect man, but he was a great man. He was a great man. He was a great leader, not a perfect leader. They all came after him. And so David had to learn to deal with his giants. Sometimes spiritually, there are giants, there are demons coming after us. Are you facing them or are you running from them? Are we facing them or are we running from them? Our friends, when we talk to them, when our families have issues in their life, when our friends and family have issues, God is saying, I brought this storm. I'm allowing this giant so that you can grow, so that you can learn to obey. But many of us, we don't want to hear that I have to go through the storm. What do we want to do? We want to get around the storm. We don't want to hear that I got to wait an hour in line. We want to buy the fast pass so I can get there quicker. Do you see what we've done in America? We're trying to get through. We're trying to cut through. We're trying to cut off. We don't like dealing with loss. We don't like to deal with hard things. We don't want to go through the storms. We don't want to face giants. But it's the only way for every single one of us to live the blessed life God has for every one of us. Do we want to truly be blessed more than we ever have? Then we got to fight the giants. We got to deal with the demons. And we have to get through the storms. How do we help someone get better? Tell them to face their demons. Tell them to face their giants. Do you want to see someone get better? Do we want to truly see family and friends get better? Then they're going to have to deal with the demons. Jesus tells a story. Do you think he was making this up? Do you think he was just talking about it for heck? Let's just talk. He said, listen, a demon leaves somebody, and what does he do? He goes and finds seven other buddies, and they come back and attack you. We might think we just dealt with a giant and one, and then next thing you know, we get smacked with seven other ones coming to attack us. We don't understand sometimes. This is a serious spiritual battle. Serious spiritual battle. Our last verse. While he was speaking to her, messengers arrived from the house of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told them, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't be afraid, just have faith. Live unafraid. Jesus stopped to the crowd. He stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house, the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion, the weeping, the wailing. He went inside and asked, why all the commotion, weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. They laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up, walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. He gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what happened, and he told them to give her something to eat. And so this morning, as we ask ourselves, what's the one thing God wants me to walk away with? What's the few things God wants me to walk away with? It's Communion Sunday. It's America 250. We know that our country has faced many storms, some won, some lost, but we're still here. We know that America has faced many giants, some that they beat, some that they got beaten, right? But America is still here. As people, no matter what we've gone through, we've faced our own storms. Faced our own giants. Some of us we've run, we hid. Some we've tried to fight. Some we've given up. But we're here. And so God says, listen, the keys, the victory, the keys to life. And maybe what you're looking for is this. Stop living afraid. Live unafraid. Don't be afraid what's in front of you. Don't be afraid what's around you. Don't be afraid what's coming up next. Live unafraid. If people, if parents pass down their giants to you, then beat them, face them, take them down so that you can move on, so that you don't pass them on to your kids. If your parents, if my parents, if our parents passed something on to us that wasn't good, that wasn't healthy, then let us deal with it now so that nothing from this moment gets passed on to anybody else. There are demons. There is death, and it's coming for all of us. Let us get through the storms. Let us face our giants, and let's learn to win. Losing sucks. How many of us know? Losing sucks. Running and hiding, it's even worse. Not willing to face confrontation, not willing to face fears, not willing to face the situation. It never, ever, never we'll get to that place. God got through the disciples through the storms. God helped David beat Goliath. And God's here this morning. Jesus is here this morning. As he raised the dead, as he healed, as he delivered, he's here to help us every waking moment. It's nice to know I'm never alone. I don't have to face this alone. God is on my side. I have God's favor. I have my five rocks. I have my five rocks. God's favor, God's grace, God's hand in my life. I have my five, so I'm ready, I'm prepared. No matter how many giants I face, I'm ready, I'm prepared. I got enough rocks for everybody. I'm ready to take you out. Let us prepare each day for the battles we face, because God has given you victory, and he wants you to live in the victory he's given you. Let's pray.